It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we open this weekly program from Words of Life. Words of Life is sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to present the gospel message of Jesus. This week, Brother David Johnson will share a message from the book of Ephesians entitled, Serve Wholeheartedly. I'm sure that this sermon will provide healthy challenges for our Christian living. We will hear from Brother Johnson in a few minutes, but first we present singing about Jesus. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you in recognition that you are God and that we are sinful people who depend upon your mercy and grace. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave Jesus for our salvation. Please use the words of this broadcast to accomplish your will. Bless each of our listeners with the healing and peace that are needed, and we also ask that you will provide the spiritual convictions and faith that are needed for each of our listeners as they learn to do your will. Please be with us and be with all faithful believers who are facing persecution from Satan. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, please take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Has thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but love? heart right with God. Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
We now present an archived sermon by Brother David Johnson. This sermon is entitled, Serve Wholeheartedly, based upon Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7.
Good morning, listeners. Today, together we're going to all look at and consider the very practical subject of service, of a godly work ethic. Our study text in Scripture is found in the New Testament book of Ephesians. We'll be looking at chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, which begins in this way. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Now you understand that God does not commend slavery, but because of the sinfulness, the hard-heartedness of man, God allowed this evil practice. However, God also revealed very practical principles in dealing with the realities of life in a fallen world, even for slaves. It is estimated that there were about 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire during the time of the Apostle Paul. Slaves were involved in almost every field. Some slaves were even doctors and teachers. For the vast majority of slaves, life was very tough and terrible. Under Roman law, a slave was not even a person, just property. Only a tool for the master, for the owner. If a slave, for example, was a runaway, at best, he was branded like cattle on the forehead with the letter F for fortuitus, a Latin word from which we get our English word fugitive. But at worst, a runaway slave was killed. Slaves were abused and completely at the mercy of their owners. So when the Apostle Paul addressed in his Ephesian letter to Christian slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Certainly, to obey this command, these instructions, they had to have been truly converted to Christ, genuinely changed on the inside, new creatures, a new creation in Christ Jesus. And these Christian slaves knew that they were at least free on the inside. The original Greek word translated obey has the basic meaning of continuous, consistent submission. Here, to one's master. Submission, consistently, not just once in a while. Of course, the only exception for a Christian slave would be in regard to a command that involved clear disobedience of the word and will of God. For example, to lie or steal. In this section of Scripture regarding a master-slave relationship, there is obvious application today to an employer, employee, or teacher-student, or supervisor-worker relationships. As Christians, we should practice the principles given here. But even non-Christians would do well and benefit by these principles. Obedience to those over us is always a good practice. Unless, of course, they require of us something immoral or unethical against the Word of God. As Christians, we should serve and work as if unto Christ. This practical principle is elaborated in the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Therefore, to serve, to work for one's employer, teacher, or supervisor is God's will, and is likewise to serve Christ Himself. Sometimes those over us may not, in our minds, deserve respect or obedience. Yet Christians are admonished to respect and obey in any case, and to understand that at least their office, their position over us, is to be respected. Now this goes, of course, against the natural mindset. But as Christians, we should be different from the natural, the normal, the world, and be good employees, good students, good workers, regardless. Usually, a consistent work ethic will be noticed and rewarded by those over us. Employers, teachers, or supervisors always desire honest, hardworking, trainable, respectful workers. This should describe any and all Christians on the job or in the classroom. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "Obey them, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but likewise, slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart." We have a saying today, when the cat is away, the mice will play. Or, when the boss is away, the workers will play. No, that's not the way it should be. We shouldn't work hard only when we're being watched, and then hardly work when we're not being watched. Instead, consistently seek to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. That's God's way. That's the Christian way. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men." That is, as Christians, ultimately, we are not mere men pleasers. We're God pleasers. And it's not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. As Christians, being consistently good employees, students, or workers, is actually even part of our Christian witness, that others may see Christ in us, even in the attitude and action of our work, whether on the job or in the classroom, wherever we serve, certainly in the kingdom of God. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8, it adds, "Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free." Reward here refers to rewards to Christians beyond salvation, because Scripture plainly teaches that salvation is by grace through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And this is also according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, beyond salvation, there are rewards for Christians at the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. This truth is found in the 2 Corinthian letter, chapter 5, and verse 10. The good that we do here has a lot to do with our attitude. We serve, we work, not just with our heads and our hands, but with our heart in it. Everything we do, it is as if we do it first unto the Lord. We don't just see a company or a school or a job, but Christ becomes our invisible go-between. Everything goes through Him first. Christ becomes like a filter of our attitude and our actions on the job, in the classroom, as we work, as we serve. It's also about our Christian character, about our work ethic. It is our Christian witness also. And there is universal application for all of us, according to what we do. A Christian housewife or houseworker cooks and cleans as unto the Lord. A Christian student studies, works as unto the Lord. A Christian factory worker labors as unto the Lord. Whether blue collar or white collar, we toil as unto the Lord. And of course, we know that the Lord sees all. And habitual tardiness or absences, idleness or laziness is ungodly and therefore unchristian-like or unchrist-like. Even non-Christians should develop good habits of work and service, which usually will be rewarded in this life. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 9, we're warned, "And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." And therefore, those who are bosses, supervisors, managers, or teachers also need to honor and respect their employees, their workers, or students. Whether a Christian supervisor or not, threatening those under you is counterproductive. Authority and power are usually followed best when not abused, but instead authority and power with restraint and patience. And everybody ultimately answers to our ultimate master. The master in heaven is an equal opportunity provider, but there is no favoritism with him. So whether employer or employee, teacher or student, a good work ethic is doing more than is required. It's about finishing what we start. It's about workmanship. It's about, as Christians, tangible evidence in our work or service of a transformed heart. There are basically two kinds of people who work and serve. First, there are those who actually do the work. And second, there are those who take the credit for doing the work. Always strive to be the first kind. Doers, workers, servants. To be a doer is best also because there's much less competition there. Hardly working should never, ever replace hard work, honest work. circumstances on the job, in the classroom, or serving in any capacity may not always be to our liking, but in Christ, empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can conquer negative circumstances and glorify God through it. God gives grace to meet the challenges of work and service. Our responsibility is to apply God's grace to our circumstances. Now think about it. In the first century AD, the Christian slaves in the early church proves that it can be done even in the most difficult, terrible, tough circumstances. For example, it would be good for us to read and to study the small New Testament book of Philemon and learn how a Christian slave by the name of Onesimus was transformed even as a runaway slave once he became a Christian, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, as all Christians are. Finally, the words gung-ho you've probably heard before. Gung-ho were popularized in America by American Marines who came from the South Pacific during World War II. The word gung is a Chinese word for work. Ho is a Chinese word for harmony, and therefore it means work harmoniously. So, on the job, we need to strive to be gung-ho. In the classroom, we can be gung-ho. Even in the kitchen, we can be gung-ho. And certainly, as Christians, in the kingdom of God, we should be gung-ho and do it all as unto the Lord Jesus Christ.
In order to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, you must be a Christian. If you are not yet a Christian, please consider this important relationship in knowing Jesus. If we can help you in your decision, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this broadcast, write to us and ask for CD 1904. That's 1904. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.